You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. Remember the Game is brought to you by my website, abcomedy.net. As you may or may not know, I'm a comedian by night. And as much as I love talking about old video games, telling jokes is how I actually pay my bills. So please check out my website. In addition to old episodes of this podcast, you'll find my blog, videos of my stand-up, all of my upcoming shows, and my contact information. If you need a comedian for your next fundraiser, corporate event, house party, whatever you got going on, hit me up. Again, it's abcomedy.net. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe to it. Please leave us a good review. And most importantly, please tell a friend. I'd really appreciate it. There'll be a new episode every single Wednesday. Thank you guys so much for the support. I hope you enjoy the show. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Remember the Game, my video gaming podcast, where every week a friend comes over and the two of us just geek out but a game from our childhood. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you guys so much for coming back. This week, episode 19, my buddy Chris returns to the podcast, and we remember one of the greatest RPGs of all time, Earthbound, for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. This game, as much as any game from my childhood, just triggers nostalgia. I've played through this game a dozen times. I love it. I love the music. Just, I know I say this on a lot of episodes, but this was really one of those ones where it was a real treat to just go online and try to find some of the music from the game and just listen to it. And like, it just has me wanting to play it for like the 101st time. It's great. I'm going to get to it right away with Chris. I am going to warn you guys, there is a bit of a change. Excuse me. I do change my score a little bit in the outro because after we finished recording, something came up. I don't want to spoil it now. So hang around for the outro. It's only like 30 seconds longer. At this point, you've committed to the podcast already. Listen to the whole thing. Thanks for all the great downloads and stuff, you guys. We're going to pass 1,000 downloads this week, which is really cool to me. You know, I don't think it's enough that I could be charging people thousands of dollars to advertise on it. But we're growing, so thank all of you guys. I really appreciate it. As far as what I'm playing this week, I've fallen back into the Skyrim rabbit hole, and I'm completely hooked on that again. And also, with the NES Online on the Switch, I've decided to do my first ever playthrough of the original Zelda on the NES. I never played it as a kid. I've been working on it for a week and change now. I like it, you know? It's. I can imagine how hard it must have been as a kid. Before the internet, although that said, I haven't had to look up too much yet. I'm six dungeons in, lots of just exploring, walking around. Those kinds of games are so perfect. Skyrim and that Zelda game, like any of those, any game with a lot of exploration is so at home on the Switch, where I can be playing it portably and still watching TV or talking to Shaylee, or I can take it on the road and play it in my hotel room, or, you know, whatever. I know I rant about it every week. I love the Switch. Someone has also brought up that there's not a lot of Sega games on this thing yet. And when I say a lot, I mean there aren't any. I never owned a Sega as a kid, but I am looking. Sega's got a big collection coming out for the Switch in a week or two, and I think I might pick it up, and I'm going to try to get into some of those games, and then we can try to get a little bit more Sega on here. So if there's a console you guys are interested in that's not on here, that's not a current console, let me know. I'm interested in your feedback, really. I'd appreciate it. You can hit me up, you know, by however, find me on the Twitter at Member the Game, or on Facebook, facebook.com/Member the Game, you know, however you want. Let me know. And I got a lot of episodes recorded, and I'm going to start another batch of them right away so that I can get some more in the bank. So if you're interested, shoot me a message. I know some people have already expressed interest, and I'm going to reach out to them here in the next day or two as well. So with that said, we are going to get to the podcast, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Kick back and relax, and let us remember Ness, Paula, Jeff, Pooh, and the beautiful world that is Earthbound on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. Here we go. Okay, so this game is one of the games that I've been most excited to talk about since I came up with this whole stupid idea for this stupid podcast. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Earthbound for the Super Nintendo. My friend Chris, you may remember from episode one, Fame, is back. How are you, my friend?
Good, man. Thanks for having me back.
Perfect. And I like how you're fucking right in the microphone. He was like, I'm going to fucking... I was like, yeah, you did it. You did great. Earthbound, you and I have been talking about recording this episode since I started kicking around the idea of the podcast. So you have played Earthbound through before?
Played all the way through, yeah. I was doing my homework here and played all the way to Foresight, I think, this time. And
yeah.
Oh boy, it's like an old book. It's just, you open it up and it's exciting all over again. I love that game.
I'll tell you, man, I just knocked my recorder off the table, so I'm going to make sure it's still recording. That's how good this podcast is. I'll tell you, the Super Nintendo... Yeah, we're good. The Super Nintendo is obviously heralded as like as one of, if not the greatest JRPG console of all time. Like it's I know nerds will be listening to this and be like, well, the PS1 had, and I know, but the Super Nintendo's right there. Like its JRPG library can stand up to anybody's. And when you look at games like Final Fantasy VI and Chrono Trigger and Secret of Mana, I guess, and like those types of games, I get it. I get they're all great. I agree that they're all great. But for my money, this is the best RPG on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, like it just takes them all and just it throws it right on its head. Like it's nothing like the other ones. It's completely different, like story wise, mm-hmm. The humor. It has humor, it's
legitimate humor. It was the first it was the first funny game I think I've ever played. Like if you've never played Earthbound, I can't imagine you listening to this if you don't know what Earthbound is. But it's a JRPG, but it's not like a classic Final Fantasy Chrono Trigger back in like the fucking 1500s with swords and magic type game. It's you're a kid. You're just a regular kid in basically I don't remember I think the game is set in
19XX. Yeah.
So it's you basically you're in the 90s as this kid, and he has psychedelic powers, and it's magic. And then you meet up with three other kids, and two of them have magic, and one doesn't. And we will get into that in a second. And it's like a modern RPG. They use baseball bats and frying pans and bubble
guns,
gum
yo-yo,
and yeah, yo-yos and baseball caps for armor. And it's completely different than any other. Like I mean, that alone. Like we'll get into the mechanics and things like that and the differences. But the core concept of the game itself, compared to 90% of the RPGs out there, I'd never played anything like this before. Where it was like you're just a normal kid, you know.
Yeah, like, and there's no castles, there's no shrines, there's no nothing that you'd expect. Like, you go to towns and you buy your food at the restaurants, you go to malls to upgrade your equipment, you fight it out at arcades, you fight it out, in Foursquare, you fight it like a Bewitched Mall, I think it is, even. Like,
yeah, I love it. Like, instead of getting, like, potions and stuff to heal and do that kind of things, you use hamburgers.
Yeah.
And then you can put condiments on your hamburger, Like, you could put ketchup. You could get a packet of ketchup, which may restore, like, 6 HP on its own. And hamburger may restore, like, 30 HP on its own. But you could put ketchup on the hamburger and restore, like, 100 HP. And, like, and that's the type of, like you said, you go to shopping malls and toy stores to buy your weapons. And you, instead of getting gold and gold pieces, your dad deposits money into your bank account for every bad guy you kill. And then to get access to your money, you have to go to somewhere where there's an ATM and withdraw cash. Like, it's so cool.
Like, I mean, like, your parents, you phone them up. You phone your dad to save the game. He saves the game mm-hmm. for you. You phone mm-hmm. your mom and she'll just, like, she spouts out random lines like, "Oh, honey, I'm glad you're doing so well. I'm watching a soap opera and it's getting steamy. Bye, click." Like,
yeah.
It's just, it goes on like that.
And, like, and you can get homesick.
Yeah.
And then you have to call your mom to make her, or to make you make your main character, Ness, feel better.
Like, even a lot of, like, the, like, you can buff your character in that game, like Adam said, with the items, like, and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Even the things that, like, debuff your character, where, like, the enemy will do something and you catch a cold, or you, like, they do something and you get teary-eyed.
Yeah, you start crying. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you can fight a giant pile of puke, and then the giant pile of puke burps. And the burp burns your eyes and you start crying and now your accuracy's gone down.
Mushroom puts a mushroom in your head and you feel funny and then, like, it actually buggers up how you move your character around.
That's a cool little touch.
But then to get it off, you go into town and some random person's like, "Hey, you have a mushroom on your head. I'll give you $50 for it."
Yeah.
You get $50 for your wallet.
And you basically, you heal your confusion and make $50. It's, I don't know. And, like, and I said right off the hop with this podcast, I didn't want this to be one where we do a bunch of homework and research and find the history of the games. I don't really, there's enough of those kind of podcasts out there. I want this to just be two nerds reminiscing. But how exactly they came up with all the con, because I know this is technically the second game of the series. There is one on the NES and the Famicom that I've only played about an hour of. Have you ever played it?
It's the original Mother? I haven't played it, but just looking at it, I think it's pretty aged now. Like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't think I could go back and have the patience to. I think I heard it's the same kind of.
Same idea.
Same kind of style and all that.
I'd love to know where they came up with this. Because in a world where, like, I mean, anyone that's listening to this that played the Super Nintendo and liked RPGs, like, they I mean, not all of them sold like hotcakes, but I think it's, especially back in the 90s, it was a pretty niche market. But RPG, like, it's, I mean, you were sitting there looking at, like, Square making Final Fantasy 4 and 6 and Chrono Trigger, and you're watching Nintendo and Square make Super Mario RPG and Secret of Mana and all these games, and you're like, well, they've got the RPG formula down. And then here came this guy and this company that were like, oh, we're going to make it totally different. We're just going to make it modern. And it's, I love the graphics style of this game compared to a lot of the other, like, I mean, and I think, and I'm totally biased. I'm a Super Nintendo nerd. And I feel like the graphics, for the most part, on the Super Nintendo have stood the test of time. Like, that pixel style.
Well, especially with Earthbound. Like, all the people in the town, like, they just look ridiculous. Like, you see a woman with, like, two eyes on top of her head and, like, a huge, like, gummy smile. Like,
yeah.
It looked like something you drew when you were, like, five.
Yeah. And I think that adds a lot to the game. Like, it's so memorable looking. It's like playing, it's almost like playing a cartoon.
Yeah.
You know? It's very cartoonish, which I love. So it's got a lot of modern mechanics, which is great. A lot of modern themes and great gameplay. The characters. One of the things I like the most about this game is that you have four characters, and that is it. You know, I mean, like, when you play, spoilers, I guess, I can't imagine anyone hasn't played it. You play Final Fantasy IV, and you have five people in your team at any given time at most, but you're constantly switching out characters, getting characters, losing characters. Final Fantasy VI, what do you have in that game? Like, a dozen, 15?
More than at least 12.
I think. And you build teams out of them, right? In Earthbound, you have four. And I love that because it's the same four for the whole, like, once you, I know Pooh leaves the group for a little while. I'll make sure to put a warning in the intro that there's spoilers like crazy, so we can say whatever we want.
Oh, yeah.
It's four characters, and it's easy to manage. It's easy to get attached to each of the four. They are four good characters. You understand the role each of the four of them play. Which is great. First and foremost, there is Ness. Do you always name him Ness?
I usually stick with the main name.
Yeah, me too. I love it. I love that he's got the baseball cap and the backpack and these where he just,
it's pretty much you as a video game character.
Yeah, except cooler. And he's just like a normal kid who, like, they realize, like, from the beginning he's got psychic powers. That's awesome. Like, he doesn't need a huge backstory. He's just this regular kid, you know. And then when the when how do you pronounce it? Do you say Gyges? That's how I say it.
I think Gyges, yeah.
Gyges. It could be Gyges, Gyges. Yeah. We're going with Gyges for the rest of this podcast. They find out that Gyges is coming to destroy the world, and he's been like traveling through time and he wants to destroy the world, and then this ancient being, Buzz Buzz, the bee, comes back and basically explains it all to Ness and is like, you gotta go and stop this guy. Like, you're the guy, you gotta do it. And we'll get into Pokey in a minute. That fat little fucker.
Oh, he's the best, worst character I've ever had in a game.
He's Cartman. He's Cartman.
Oh, he pretty much is.
He's Cartman. So basically you'll get Ness, and then Ness he finds out that, you know, this, like, the legend or whatever speaks of these three other kids that are going to help Ness.
And that was the best, I think that was probably the first part of the humor in the game, is that this mythical Buzz Buzz who travels in time to warn you, Pokey's mom, oh, there's a bug, and swats him, he dies.
Like, yeah, that's right. He's like this, like, mythical, like, he's like this great time traveler that's come back and warned you, like, we got to save the universe and everything. And then he gets swatted in someone and dies because he's a bug. So, so you have Ness, and then you get Paula, who is like, I mean, if this game has one cliche, it's that the girl is the token healer kind of in the group. You know, she's got the healing powers and she's the hardcore mage, right? Like, the frying pan does some damage and stuff.
Yeah.
I love that her weapon is a frying pan. Yeah. Although I guess it's a little bit misogynistic in this day and age.
Yeah,
but I think it's hilarious. So Paul is really rad, and then the character that I think has the most depth, as much as I think he's a dud, is Jeff.
And that was the neatest part of him, is that, like, you don't meet him. It's she reaches out to him psychically, Paula, when her and Ness are trapped.
So yeah, which is cool.
You actually wake up as Jeff in a different part of the whole, like, universe, and you have to make your way to rescue them.
And then Jeff is like, has no magic.
He repairs broken stuff.
He can fix things, right? And I really enjoy that mechanic. That as the game goes, I guess he's not like a blue mage, but he's like, I guess he's the kind of the closest thing to it, because he's kind of unique compared to the other ones.
He was the one I would always just kind of A through for attack. Like, yeah. I mean, you could always do the spy thing to see what the weak points were, but other than that, and I guess, like, he'd shoot his bottle rockets that he made and stuff like that.
That was my big thing with him, because he, as his IQ went up in the game, he could fix more things, but a majority of the things he would fix, maybe they were great, but I never used them. Stuff like the, like, defense spray and the rust promoter or whatever, like all those types of things. But what I found handy with Jeff is, like, dude, near the end of the game, like when I'm going to fight Gyges and stuff, I'll load him up with the multi-bottle rockets. Like, I'll go by the Deep Darkness and I'll go visit the arms dealer there and stock him up on rockets, because he's the only one that can shoot those bombs. And those are some of the most powerful attacks in the game, are those bombs. And then suddenly Jeff goes from, like, somebody you're just using to absorb damage to, like, your absolute tank.
Yeah, damn.
Because he can just so he's cool. And then finally, there is Pooh, which is the greatest.
We didn't name him.
The greatest name video game character of all time. I don't have the same attachment to Pooh that I have to the other three, because you don't really have him that long.
He shows up pretty late in the game.
And then he leaves.
Yeah.
And then he comes back. And when he comes back, he's got, is it Sandstorm?
Yeah.
Or Starstorm? No, Sandstorm. I haven't played it in a while. But he's got probably the most powerful spell in the game, or like one of anyway. But I always looked at him and Ness as, because they were on the two ends of the line, right? Ness was the leader. Pooh was like the number four, basically. He's the last guy you get. But they're the two guys that can do the most damage physically.
Yeah.
They both have really strong offensive magic. They can both do some healing. Could Paula heal? Now that I say that Paula was the healer?
No, I think she was more offensive spells. She could buff your characters up too, I think.
She had like the black magic. Ooh, maybe I'm just a
Ness
sexist.
Ness did some healing, I think.
It was Ness and Pooh.
Yeah.
Pooh. so he's like he's like a karate warrior, basically. And that's, I really adore that about this game. I don't have, like, when you play one of the other ones, like Final Fantasy IV or VI example, they're the two I'm going to draw the most attention to. You don't gain a huge attachment to most of the characters because there's so many.
And some of them were just duds too. Like,
some of them
especially
are duds.
In 6, like the Sasquatch and all those.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. And in 4, fucking Edward.
Edgar. The harp guy.
Yeah, the fucking crappy harp guy. The spoony bard.
Yeah.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help, because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
But in Earthbound, it's four characters and they're four kids. Like, it's hard to not, you're like, it's four kids. Then, like, what I love about it, Pooh lesser so, because in Pooh's home country or whatever you want to call it, he's like a prince and people are like, you're a prince, you have to go save the world. But with Ness, Paula, and Jeff, like, their family misses them. Like, when you go back to their towns or back to their homes, their family talks to them and they're like, oh, you're...
Except for Jeff's fat dad.
Well, yeah, Jeff's dad's kind of a doctor. He's fatso. More
or
less,
or yeah, he has Jeff like in this group, like not a group one, but I guess a boarding school.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And then when you first leave, you like get to his research station off the hop, and he's like, "Oh, hi, nice to see you. Maybe we'll see you in 10 years again."
Yeah, yeah. Like, he's just, like, "You're just a son of a bitch."
Kind of a
dick. Yeah. Well, like, you gave up your kid for adoption so you could work on your stupid spaceship that doesn't work.
And he still doesn't want to see him even after.
Yeah,
him
you
there,
fat but. Turd.
Oh man.
So that's, I don't know. I mean, I love the graphics style of this game, and I fucking really like the art style, or the art style and graphic style is the same thing. The characters. I love the four characters.
Yeah.
And then, and I love that you can get Ness's dog on your team for a little while, just because I love dogs. and then you get to one of the best / worst villains in the history of video games, Pokey. Pokey the fat, he's Cartman. He's a PG Cartman. So for anyone that doesn't, again, I don't have to explain all this, but Pokey is the fat prick that lives next door to Ness. And he originally goes with Ness to the meteor where they meet Buzz.
Right? It's his little brother that's missing. And
that's right, yeah.
Pokey's picky. Too chicken shit to go find him.
That's right, yeah.
So he shows up at your door. He makes fun of Ness's mom.
He's so Cartman.
Like, right off the hop.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
he does, yeah. Nice bathrobe, and then he laughs at her.
Yeah,
or
it's
something.
Like snicker or yeah. Something.
And then he basically begs you to come help him. And then the best is that beginning of the game where you're Ness, Pokey, and your dog, yeah. Whatever you want to name your dog, and then you recruit Picky after you go save him, and you're coming home, Ness can fight, and Picky throws like a hit point of damage.
Yeah, it'll be a hit point.
And the dog will fight, and Pokey like hides.
Oh, and like every time Pokey does something, it's like Pokey complains loudly to Ness. Yeah. Pokey hides behind a bush. Like, yeah. Pokey thinks to himself, like, he's just such a piece of crap.
Yeah, I remember playing it as a kid and being like, help us, Pokey. And then it turns out that he like joins Gygax. And it's like,
and he's like a recurring villain through the whole thing. Like, he just shows up at...
Yeah, that's right.
Like
he
the
does.
The whole time. Like,
yeah, yeah.
By the time you get to Foreside, like, he's pretty much advising the mayor. He's like on the top of a tower and he's like, oh, my poor neighbor has arrived. Like, he has like thugs throw you out of his tower.
Yeah, his tower. What I like about it is like, and I never really thought about it till now, just talking about it. It's kind of like Ness represents like all the good in the world. He's like a good kid who wants to go save the world and help everybody. And Pokey is like the evil in the world. And he saw the power that Gygax could give him and he joined Gygax and became evil. And I guess at the end of the day, what the game teaches us is that skinny people are good and fat people are bad. It's basically what it's trying to say with Pokey.
Because even at the very end of the game, you go through the credits and all this, and the last line of the game is Pokey sends you a note saying, come at me, loser. And like,
yeah, yeah.
That's how it ends.
So
yeah.
So because there's a sequel to this. Which I know is, I'm sorry to bring it up. I know it's kind of a sore spot with you. There is a Mother 3. So yeah, because that's the other thing is like, because it's called Mother, right? Which I don't really get. Because Earthbound is Mother 2, correct?
Yeah.
So in Japan, it's just called Mother 2.
Yeah, Mother 2, Mother 3.
And the first one is called Mother.
Yeah.
And here it's called Earthbound 0. So I wonder why they changed it from Mother.
I don't know. Like, well, there was an urban myth with Mother 2. Have you ever heard about this?
No.
Where they claim that the end boss with Gygax is actually supposed to symbolize an abortion.
I have heard that. And because it kind of looks like it.
Yeah, because like it actually, like, and when you have Ness's face on the end, yeah. Like, it's such a weird, like.
Yeah.
And I guess I can kind of see it, but.
So I guess, so Mother and it's aborting. Ugh, wow, like, that's creepy.
And that's the most anti-Nintendo Nintendo thing
no
ever.
No shit,
like.
Hey? It's creepy. So it's cool. I've never played Mother 3. I know you've never played Mother 3. There are translations of it out there, but they've never brought it to... I have no... Dude, can you... You and I talk about this on almost a, I would guess, a monthly basis. Every time Nintendo announces a Nintendo Direct, one of us brings up Mother 3. Can you honestly come up with a fucking good reason why they have not brought Mother 3? It's been... You can't fucking tell me, and I'm not saying you have, but you can't tell me that it's translation issues because fans have translated it to English for free.
And the weird thing of that is that Nintendo hasn't stepped in and took it down. Like, because usually they guard any type of mods to their property, like, man, cease and desist almost immediately.
Nintendo's so fucking... I'm such a diehard, loyal Nintendo fanboy. And then they just do these weird things where you're like, what? Like, you have this game that's just sitting... I'm sure when it comes... Say they decide to put Mother 3 on the Switch. It's either going to the Switch or the 3DS if they bring it over. Either one. Let's say they put it on the Switch. I completely get it's not as simple as like right click, save as English Mother 3, and then upload it. I'm sure it's harder than that. But you can't tell me it's harder than the NES games they put online or any of the games they upload. You know what I mean? Or something like it's there. I don't get it. And fans have been begging for it they brought it up. They mentioned it at one of their press conferences or something. They were like, we have nothing to say about it at this time, but we know the fans have a demand for it. They put the main character in Smash Brothers.
Well, and they put, Lucas is a playable fighter.
Right. And the game has never come out. I'm sure there's a huge number of Smash Brothers players that don't even know who Lucas is. You know, like, I don't get it. We all want this fucking game.
And it took forever even just to get Earthbound, like, on the Wii, or, like...
On the con...
Wii
U. Yeah,
like,
it
was almost at the end of the Wii life, I think, they finally put the old SNES on the game on
there, the virtual console. And now it's available on, like, 3DS, the Wii U, it's on...
everything,
Super Nintendo Classic. Like, it's everywhere now, which is a good thing, because if you want to buy a physical copy of it, it's, like... I mean, I sold my physical copy a little while ago.
Cheap.
Dude, it's one of the most expensive Super Nintendo. But like, so I'll ask you, this is something I wanted to ask you right off the top. Like, did you play it as a kid?
No. I never had a SNES. I was
that's what
Genesis
I thought.
Growing up and all that.
So when did you play it?
Just once I had an emulator, usually, and I think it was in university.
Okay.
That's when I first played through it.
And is that just because you had heard about it? Because everyone talks about it.
Oh, yeah. I always remembered it because, I mean, if you remember the fan service with that, like, it was the big box at the GameStop.
Yeah, man.
It came with that massive guide and that stuff. And
I remember getting it for Christmas, and it was in such a giant box because it came with that. I'd never seen a game come with a player's guide like that.
Yeah.
Like, and that player's guide, like, if you've never looked at it, I don't know if you've ever looked at it or not, but, like, it wasn't cheap. Like, it was a good quality player's guide.
Bright colors.
It was fucking great. Yeah, it was great. Man, I probably played through that game a dozen times as a kid, but a lot of people didn't. They marketed the fuck out of that game when
it
came out.
For some reason, when it came out here, and did so well.
Well, like, it's kind of weird because, like, I remember, like, it came with scratch and sniff cards in the player's guide or something, or in the box.
Nintendo Power, I think, had them.
Yeah,
too,
and Nintendo Powers had them, and basically the advertising campaign was like, this game stinks, and like you could scratch and sniff these things that just smelled like vomit, like just puke, just fucking gross. And my buddy Rob, the guy that originally got me into Final Fantasy 2 or 4 and RPGs, is the one that told me about this game, and then I started and I was like, wow, this, I asked for it for Christmas. A lot of people never played it, and it's crazy to me that it was so overlooked.
The thing with Earthbound, though, is I think if you're a kid of a young age, though, I think you'd have some trouble with parts of it, because like there's some stuff that you kind of have to read between the lines a little bit to have certain items at certain points and stuff like that. So,
But that's why the player's guide was there. Because
most kids didn't play those games anyway.
I mean,
I guess really either. But
I don't remember how old I was when I got that game, but I got it in Calgary, and I moved away from Calgary when I was 12. So I finished it before I was 12. Yeah. and I had the player's guide, and that's what helped me.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, there are parts, like the part where you have to go and get the diamond. Like, you saved the Runaway Five, like, a dozen times. Those fucking duds.
Broken every town they
which,
go, yeah.
Which is another thing that I love about that game, is the Runaway Five, and the two lead singers are clearly Mario and Luigi. There's, like, the fat little guy in red, and the tall, skinny guy in green. Like, it's awesome. And then one of my probably my favorite part of that whole game is, we can go spoilers, I don't fucking care, is when you're in the tower in Foreside, you were talking about Pokey's fucking tower, and you get to the top, and what is it called? Is it the barely working robot?
Yeah.
Or something? Like that's, oh, yeah. That stupid little robot. And he's just like half the time he doesn't even attack you. It's just like
sandwiches.
He eats bologna sandwiches, yeah. And he like falls over.
When he does attack you, he can mess you up.
Fucks you up, yeah. And so you fight him and fight him and fight him. And then finally the Runaway Five break in, and the music starts playing the Runaway Five music. And then it's just like one of the members goes behind him and turns him off. And that's how you beat him. They just flick the power switch. And this crappy little robot that almost killed you that lives off bloaty sandwiches shuts down because of the Runaway Five.
Oh, it's
perfect, man.
Like, I don't even know where to begin with like favorite moments in that game. Like, you're in the desert and you come across a broken slot machine. But there's three Mexican guys standing there, and they spin around.
Yeah.
And you talk to them. One's like, I'm Pancho. The second one's like, I'm Pincho. The third one's like, I'm Thomas Jefferson. Like, it's so stupid. Like, I sit and giggle at that, though. Like, you put a buck in, they spin around. If they line up, you get a sandwich as a prize.
Yeah, yeah.
Just keep going in the desert. But, like, and the whole game's like that, though. Like, it's so just all this bizarre, like, every person you want to talk to, because you don't know what they say. It's so much random.
The dialogue's fantastic. You go out of your way to talk to people in that game because it's so funny. The Apple kid and the Orange kid, the two inventors. And the Orange kid lives in, like, this nice, clean house, and he looks like a sharp kid. And then the Apple kid's like a fat slob whose house is full of garbage
his
and mice.
A mouse.
His best friend is a mouse. But he's the only one that ever helps you.
Yeah, I think if you give money to the Orange kid, like, he just comes, he invents a bunch of junk that you can't use in the game. Like,
yeah.
It's just all stupid crap.
He just wastes your time. Whereas the Apple kid's like, hey, I got your back. It's fucking, and he invents, like, the pencil eraser.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is the greatest invention ever. It's an eraser that erases pencils. Right as you come up to a statue of a pencil. I was like, how high were you guys when you wrote this fucking
zombies
game?
Zombies are invading the town. The Apple kid gets you a zombie paper. So they all come to town and get stuck in this tent.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
so
that's
go
right.
You talk to them when they're stuck. And
they, like, tell you off.
Like all these stupid puns. He's like, this is the worst day of my life, and like it just goes on. Like, there's 12 of them you can talk to, and they all say all this stupid stuff.
Oh, fuck,
it's a
clever game.
Or even
it's
just
funny.
You talk to a random person, and like, the next boss, it's a pile of puke, it's scary, it's all this, I just wet my pants thinking about it. Like,
yeah,
there's one in every town that'll wet their pants telling you about the boss.
Yeah. And that's actually, like, I think that's probably my favorite boss in the game outside of the robot. The robot's the best fight in the game, I don't care. Is Master Belch. The giant pile of puke. And you fight a giant pile of puke. And the best part is if you get the jar of fly honey, you can feed, like, he's supposed to be this big, mean, dangerous boss. You throw a jar of honey made by flies at him, and then he just eats it, and you attack him and kill him. And the whole time you're attacking him, he burps. And you can hear, like, the game, like, like it's so gross. They would be, like, one of those fights that if somebody walked in and watched you, they'd be like, what the fuck? What is this? And you're like, it's Master Belch. He's tough.
And just all the random enemies in that game. Like, you fight a taxi cab. You fight street signs.
Scalding cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Like... hippies. There's like
the new age retro hippie.
Yeah, and grumpy old man or something.
And then they do palette swaps. So it's like you'll fight the tiny pile of puke, and then it's like the next one, the tiny pile of puke's friend or little
Or vile pilot or whatever. Yeah.
And
it's I love that. And then you end up going like to fight dinosaurs, which are terrifying in that game. They're fucking tough. Did you when you played? Did you get because you never played with the player's guide.
No.
Like I did as a kid. Did you get, there was two items that were like 1 in 128 odds to get. And one was the Gutsy Bat for Ness, and one was a Sword of Kings, the only weapon that Pooh could
No, I don't think
get.
So then.
So,
like, I guess without the guide, you
never would have known. Yeah. I can't even remember who you had to beat to get the Gutsy Bat. The Sword of Kings, I think you had to beat Krakens.
Yeah.
In the area that, wherever the Krakens are, but it's the only weapon that Pooh can, because Pooh can't use any of the weapons,
right?
But he can equip the Sword of Kings, and it like boosts his offense. And then, if I'm not mistaken, I may be wrong. It may have been the Casey Bat, but it's either the Casey Bat or the Gutsy Bat you could get for Ness, and it made his guts like insane. Which is another thing I love about that. It made his guts insane, and he would hit. So like instead of getting critical hits like you get in most of the other games, you have guts. And if your guts are high, the higher your guts are, the better chance of you getting a critical hit. And a critical hit's called a smash. And it, you were playing it like today, right?
Yeah.
It, tell me, like, getting a smash is smash the most satisfying feeling in the world.
Yeah, you know you're going to win the fight.
It's the best.
Yeah.
So another thing I wanted to talk about that I fucking love about this game is the fights, the combat. So for starters, and this is why, for my money, this is possibly the greatest RPG on the Super Nintendo, there are zero random encounters.
Yes.
Zero. Every single bad guy in the game is on the screen. And so if you're good and you're quick, you can avoid and hide behind things and get around most of them, which is fucking awesome.
And they don't stop with that either. And they take it, they do two of the things I'm surprised it's not in every RPG, where if you fight something that's way weaker than you, it just dies and you win.
Oh, yeah. If you, and yeah.
It actually will run out of your way because it doesn't slow you down. You can actually play the game and not be bogged down with random encounters. Or
one of the hooks, one of the problems I have with games like the Final Fantasies is that it hits a point where after like 30, 40 hours of playing, I start to shy away from exploration because I don't want to deal with all the random encounters, especially when I go back to an area that I'm clearly overpowered for. And it's just, you just fucking walk through. It's boring, you know? Whereas, yeah, in this one, once you beat the boss of an area, all the bad guys run from you. And if you don't want to fight them, you won't have to. They'll hide from you. And if you do fight them and you're, I don't know what the technical like math algorithm is for it, but if you're strong enough, when you touch a bad guy, instead of it going to the fight screen, it makes this thing like it's going to load up the fight screen, and then it just says like you won and gives you the experience points.
Yeah, I think it's when you, my kind of rough idea is when you get like a one hit kill on an enemy, that's kind of when it starts to.
And it knocks like, you know, a 2 minute fight down into like 3 seconds. It's fucking awesome. And you still get, and the best part is that you still get your XP and your cash. I was going to say your gold, but it's your cash from your rich dad. If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan. So, and then, the way the bad guys run away from you. So you can go, you can fight a boss. And then if you want to go explore his dungeon, or at any point if you want to come back to that area and explore the dungeon, it's painless because the bad guys are terrified of you, which I think is so, not only is it nice because it's easier to look around, it's a cool touch because they're like, they all worshipped,
whoever was in charge.
Whoever was in charge. And then you destroyed him, and now they're all like, oh my God, like, look out for him, which I think is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And then there's the thing where you get the fights from behind.
Yeah, if you engage them from behind, you get the first crack at them, and if they get you,
which is rad too, because like when you play like Final Fantasy 6 or 4 or whatever, sometimes you get it says like preemptive attack, and you snuck up on them, obviously. Or sometimes you get where they snuck up on you. But in this one, it's like that too. But I love the way that it's like, it all comes down to how you approach. If you're good, you can approach a bad guy from behind, and then the screen will flash green instead of black, and then you get the opening attack. And if they sneak up on you, and you know what? As frustrating as it is when it happens to you and you're playing, I love the idea that you realize you're overpowered,
yeah,
or you're weak. You know, you need to rest or you need to heal or something. And you try to run away, and they get you from behind, and then sounds like poo. They get you from behind, and then the screen flashes red, and then they get that first attack, and you're just like fuck.
And that's
tense
too, because yeah, there's times where you're just about a town, and you can finally go heal up, and
yeah,
fighting for your life just to get out of
it. Yeah, and then another cool thing about it is when you do fight, the way they do the rotate the rolling HP.
Yeah, that's one thing I like it in theory, where you can actually, like, you can see it ticking down, you have a chance to save, but I find I get flustered trying to pull a spell up or an item and do it fast enough. And
you can. I prefer it to the alternative where they hit you with a spell and you're dead. Like, your HP goes from, like, 900 to zero and you're dead. But you're right, it can be like, dude, because it really makes it tense. Like,
which I guess maybe is the point of it, too.
Yeah.
I just,
when you're fighting, like, two or three bad guys, and it's an intense fight, and then they hit one of them and kill them, and then it makes that, like, and then you can see their HP in those three rollers, like, rolling down to zero, and you're like, it's almost like a clock, like, telling you, like, 5, 4, 3, and the font goes to a different color, too. To really put the emphasis on it. And yeah. Then you're like, fuck. And you're trying to rush through to somebody that can heal or use a... Because if you can heal them, they stay alive. Or end the fight. If you can finish it off before they die. I love that mechanic because it just gives it that extra like, oh no. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's actually pretty fair, I think. And I think that's what they were going for too. For some reason, I always find the menu is kind of clunky to...
It is.
Bring up items and you go find the one healing item.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe that was probably my biggest strike against it was the inventory system. You had to buy things one at a time, and then you had to give them to the other characters.
Yeah,
and like I always seemed like I was pushed to the limit all the time.
I was gonna bring that up. It's if there was anything that I would criticize about Earthbound, it's the inventory, and I can live with the cap on how many things you can carry. In most RPGs you can carry as much as you want, or you can carry a ton of stuff. And this one, you have a pretty limited inventory.
It's about 14 items or something like that.
Each
character, I think.
Yeah.
Which doesn't seem like it's not enough, but then four are gone for your equipment most of the time.
Yep. And then like you also lose an item to each of your ATM card, the Soundstone, like your critical items. One of the things about it though is like when you do, because recruiting a player, like recruiting another character in that game is such a big thing. Like, it's like some of the like biggest milestones in the game is getting each new characters. And not only do you have another character to play with and to fight with, but you're like I'm sure you know, like to get that extra, like those extra dozen item spaces, you're like, oh yes.
Yeah.
Because you're almost always at critical mass by the time you get to the next member of your team.
Plus, they have a lot of fluff inventory too. Like, I probably carried protractors and rulers around forever without realizing you can just get rid of them.
Yeah.
To buy one. And they literally don't do anything.
No, they're useless.
Like, I think I use the ruler in battle. It's just like so and so measured up the size of the opponent. And that's it. Like,
yeah, they're
it
useless.
It doesn't do anything.
Useless. If I had a criticism, it'd be that. And it's less about the limited inventory and more about it's such a pain in the ass to fucking navigate. Like you said, you got to switch items from one to. Like, in every other. I don't think I've played another RPG where each character has their own specific item screen. It's such a pain in the ass when it's like, oh, no, I really want to use a sandwich because I have one that can heal, but it's like I got to rush through to Jeff because he's the only one holding the fucking sandwich. It's like, just let all of them use the items, you know?
Yeah.
And I get that it's realistic, you know, because I guess in theory, like if I had a $5 bill in my wallet, you couldn't use my $5 bill without it getting, you know, but that's a little bit like for all of the realism about it that I like, that's like a just fuck off. Just let them use all the fucking items. You know what I mean?
Other than that, it's aged well though. Would you agree?
Oh,
like
trillion %.
It's not a chore to play through. It's you can just enjoy it again.
And for the record, like I think most JRPGs age fairly well because there's few, like, I mean, you could talk Final Fantasy VII and stuff, but for the especially from that 16-bit era, most of them have aged very well.
It's got a mix of simplicity with just complex enough though.
And when I play Earthbound now, because I've probably played through that game, I have to have played through that game 10 times. There are jokes that I didn't get as a kid that I get now, and little things that I just, you know what I mean? Like, it's, It's almost like The Simpsons. It's almost like my video game Simpsons, because it just has all these little inside jokes and these little lines.
It even has a few innuendos in there. Like, I think I... Well, yeah, you go into that waterfall where you have to wait. You literally have to wait 3 minutes.
Stand there.
To let you come in. If you leave, it won't open.
Yeah.
I died in there, and I come back, and he's like, so you're ready to take it in the shorts again, hey? Like, I'm like, duh.
Take it in the shorts?
This is Nintendo.
And there's like the blue cult, which are like, they're pretty obviously dressed like the KKK. They're just wearing blue.
Or when you get to the zombie town, you like, you follow what looks like a hooker into the hotel.
Oh yeah.
And then you get like ambushed by these ghost zombies and everything, and throw in their dungeon. Like,
there's some fucked up stuff in that game.
Sly about some of the stuff they put in there, which is, again, for Nintendo, kind of unusual, because they're always so clear cut.
Yeah. And then when you, like you said, the whole, if you take into account the whole mother abortion thing, it's a deep game, man. I love it. I absolutely love it. I adore that video game. I'll never get tired of playing it. I think it's cute and it's strategic. It's not too easy. It's not too hard. I will say, I watched a speed run of it a couple of months ago. The dude beat it in like 4.5 hours or something. And he beat all eight, like everything. Oh, and I'll tell you, it almost broke, like, to the point where I ended up turning it off, because I was like, you're breaking the game for me, because I'm watching how you can beat it without leveling up at all by just using bottle rockets properly and hiding from bad guys. And I was like, that's not how it's meant to be played. This, I get that fun community. Like,
I guess you get a title when you say the fastest, but I just...
But I don't see the fun in breaking the game. Like, it's meant to be played this way. Enjoy the story and enjoy the game, you know? Chris, if you had to, what would you give Earthbound on a scale of 1 to 10?
Back in the day, I'll give it a 9.5. Today, I'll give it an 8.5.
Okay.
I think the only reason I take a point away is, like, without that guide, I think you lose a lot of... When you play it fresh, I you waste time a little bit trying to
find
out some of, like, I think the stuff the guide would otherwise tell you, but...
There's a couple things in it that are almost like NES Zelda-y.
Yeah.
Where if you don't have a way to look up how to do it, you're pretty fucked.
I've never had more fun playing an RPG, honestly. Like, it makes you laugh. It's tense. It's hard in some spots.
Sure is.
Like, it doesn't hold your hand, that's for sure.
Sure is. Diamond Dog, dude, the last of the 8 Soundstone or My Sanctuary bosses, he's badass, man. He's tough.
The 5 moles in the desert are hard.
Oh, like... yeah. Yeah. I love how they're like, I'm the third toughest. Yeah. But then they're like, I'm also the third toughest. And all 5 of them say they're the third toughest. So 9.5 to an 8.5. I'm gonna give it a hard 9. And I'm going to stick with, I just, like, you won't, it's all opinion based. I mean, you're either right or you're wrong. It's all opinion based. Is it your top Super Nintendo RPG, or is there one you like better?
You can take that in Final Fantasy VI, and I think 1A, 1B.
I can live with
that. I
think
they both beat Mario RPG out, and other than that,
I
guess, well, Chrono Trigger, I mean, you could almost do a 1C if you really...
Yeah, because the two Final Fantasies, Chrono Trigger, Earthbound, Mario RPG... And then I guess if you want to get into the Secret of... I don't think I'm missing another, like, Secret of Mana,
really,
maybe.
No.
But I mean, that's the big one.
It's the unique one, though. Like, absolutely, it is. It's completely different, but it's so much better for it, I think.
Yeah.
And that says a lot.
I'll tell you, like, there's not an RPG on the Super Nintendo I go back and play more than Earthbound.
And there's really nothing else like it.
No, there is nothing else. Nintendo, if you're fucking listening to this, give us Mother 3. Stop fucking around. Give us Mother 3 and then make a Mother 4. If you've never played Earthbound, please play it. To buy a cartridge, it's a couple $100. But now it's available on the Wii, on the Wii U, on 3DS. It's on the SNES Classic. It's available for like $6 on, I think, on most systems, or $10 or something. It's not an expensive game. If you're an RPG fan, you have my money back guarantee. Not a guarantee that you will love this game. It's perfect. I love it. And it's long.
Yeah.
Like, you'll get your money's worth, you know? And you know what? Just quickly before we end this thing, one of the things I love about this game, Chris, is there's not a ton of secrets. And when I say that, I mean, like, when I play Final Fantasies, you got to find everyone's best weapons and all the extra magics and summons and things like that. You know what I mean? Like, all those extra little things. There's not a lot of that in Earthbound. No. There's not a bunch of side quests or anything like that. It's very linear, right?
Yeah, like, I don't... is there even any side quests?
I don't think there is.
Like, no, I think you get everything you need along the way. And
Which is one of the things that appeals to me, because I'm not worried about missing something. I can just sit back and enjoy this fantastic story of this great game.
Yeah.
It's perfect. I'm actually, I mean, by the time this comes out, I'll have made a decision, but I'm worried about what music to put in, like, for parts of it. Because, like, I know off the top I'm going to play the, like, da 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 da.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, what do I put into, like, in between the intro and outro? I was like, ah, there's some great music.
It actually
in this
was
game.
A really good soundtrack. That's right. Like just nice mellow stuff when you go into town. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah. You know what? No, dude. I'm sorry. I know we're gonna end this thing right away. I forgot that part of the reason it didn't get released earlier on the virtual console was because they were having problems with some of the music.
The Beatles. That's right.
Because it was like so close to like some actual music.
They I think were, it like, was the Beatles because like they said there were other references in the game, like you get a yellow submarine and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
that's right.
Apparently they did step on some toes for that.
Yeah. So. Oh man, maybe I need to be careful with the music I put in. I don't
Paul
care.
Paul McCartney will be nailing a door down.
Yeah, Paul. Yeah, over the podcast, it gets 20 downloads a week. I don't know. I'll figure it out. By the time you're hearing this, I clearly solved this dilemma and figured out the music. Dude, thanks for doing this. I know we've wanted to do this one since like the beginning of this podcast. So I really appreciate you coming over and talking Earthbound with me.
Oh, no problem. Any excuse to play it again.
Yeah, right? Any excuse to... We'll play it each again next year and we'll do this all over again. Thanks for coming over, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's going to do it for another episode of Remember the Game, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Chris, thank you for coming over as always. I mentioned off the top that there was going to be a slight alteration to my final score of this game. Chris and I forgot to bring up the Fuzzy Pickle guy. If you've never played it, he's this annoying little shit that drops into the game periodically and just forces you to take a picture and say Fuzzy Pickles, and you can't skip him, and the music sucks, and he sucks, and he's annoying. Half a point off for the Fuzzy Pickle guy. Get rid of him. Put him in Smash so we could fucking beat his head in. Half a point off, still a beautiful game. If you haven't played it, you're insane. Go play it, please. I implore you, I beg you to play Earthbound. That's it, you guys. I thank you so much for listening. If you like us and you're on the Twitter, give us a follow at Member the Game. If you're on the Facebook, find us at facebook.com/Member the Game. And we will be back next week with another great episode of a couple of nerds geeking out over old video games. Great outro, Adam. You're good at this. Thank you so much for listening, guys. I'll talk to you again in 7 days. Have a great week. Cheers.